waistband of my shorts, yanking them off. She'd raise that sexy eyebrow, lick her lips, then get them intimately acquainted with my dick. In case there was any question, yes, I'm hard as fuck right now. Actually, if we're going to get technical, I'm pretty sure this is the textbook definition of pitching a tent. My dick aches for attention. I'm so wound up from wanting this girl I can't have, and this boner isn't going to fade gently into the night. I strip out of my gym clothes and head straight for my shower, turning the water as hot as I can handle. Considering I think even her eyebrows are sexy, I clearly need to get this girl out of my system. An unapologetic, no-holds-barred shower jerk will do the job. The power spray setting works best for that. I adjust the mode selector, and water pours down, wetting my hair, sliding down my chest, running over the ink on my arms. Since I'm not going to have Harper for real, maybe I won't be so fucking aroused around her all the time if I give her a thorough workout in my mind. She's been in the shower with me many times, and she gives great head in here. With her banging little body and smart, sexy mouth, she's played a starring role in a handful of shower jerks during the last few months. Maybe more than a handful, like 10 helping handfuls, or 10 times that. But who's counting when your hand is full? Not me, that's for damn sure. As steam fills the bathroom, I wrap my hand around my hard-on in a nice, long, lingering tug. I let out a breath. A reel of images flashes in front of me, and this is so easy since I see the world in pictures. The hottest ones snap before my eyes as my fist curls tighter. Her crawling across my bed on her hands and knees, wearing nothing but those fuck-me glasses. Her unbuttoning her shirt, spreading it open, revealing her luscious tits to me. Tits I'd love to fuck. My blood runs hot, and a shudder races through me as that particular picture fights its way to the front of the line. I stroke up and down my shaft as I thrust between those delicious breasts. She'd pushed the soft flesh together with her hands, creating a warm valley for my dick. Her tongue would dart out, licking the head on each stroke. I draw a shaky breath as my hand slides along my length, imagining Harper's mouth on me instead. Tonight, I'd like her on her knees, the red lips that say those dirty things wrapped around my dick while she sucks, licks, and takes me deep. I groan, and the sound is swallowed by the relentless pounding of the hot water on the tiles. I stroke harder and faster, desire flaring in my muscles, skating over my skin as I see her in all her naked beauty, pleasuring me. Then, out of nowhere, the images flip. I no longer picture her servicing me. What gets me off more than anything is the prospect of her coming. The sounds she'd make, the way her lips would part in an O, how her back would arch. Fuck, I'd love nothing more than to get out of the shower, walk into the living room, and find her naked on my couch, legs spread, one hand between them, the other playing with her tits. My spine tingles as the image intensifies, grows sharper, and feels more real. The muscles in my legs tighten, and I let the fantasy play out. Hell, do I ever want to discover her masturbating, to walk in on her pleasuring herself when she's so damn close to the edge? She moans and writhes as her fingers fly across her wet pussy over the delicious rise of her clit. She's worked up and desperate, clawing for a release. Her eyes snap open. She doesn't even have to beg me to finish her off. Those blue eyes, hazy with lust, tell me how much she needs my mouth. I slide my hands up her thighs and spread her legs wide. I bury my face in her sweet wetness, and holy fuck. The start of an orgasm barrels into me as I taste her. It races through me as I devour her. It racks my body as I make her cry out and come so fucking hard on my face. I'm right there with her, my fist flying, a wild groan ripped from my throat as I finish. Panting, I stand there for a few minutes, the hot water raining over my back as my shoulders rise and fall from the intensity of that Harper-fueled orgasm. A little while later, I'm freshly showered, clean as a whistle, and naked in bed. I park my hands behind my head, a satisfied man. Yep, I came, I saw, I conquered my lust. Mission accomplished. Harper Holliday has disappeared from the 99.99% of my brain devoted to sex, and now I can focus on helping her tomorrow without even a single stray dirty thought getting in the way. Clearly, I don't want to fuck her anymore. Nope, not a bit. Not even when my phone buzzes. Not even when I open the text from her. Not even when I see the picture she sent. A super close-up selfie of her licking ice cream off a spoon. I close the screen, and I swear I don't dream about licking a mint chocolate chip ice cream cone all night long. Chapter 10. The next afternoon, I sit in a coffee shop, earbuds in, listening to music and working on the next storyline of The Adventures of Mr. Orgasm, after yesterday's massive brainstorm fest with the writing staff. In this episode, our hero has to break into a 300-year-old spooky house to rescue a woman who's being haunted by the ghost of Orgasm's past. Something about the animations the head writer sent me feels off, but I can't put my finger on it. I shut my laptop, slide it into my messenger bag, and grab a notebook. I need to figure out what's wrong, and sometimes I do that best by just drawing what I see playing out in my mind. I loop my arm around the sheet of paper, and soon enough, I like the way this concept is taking shape. It's still got the dirty humor the show needs, and I know this sounds weird, but it has heart, too. That's key. At the end of every episode, Mr. Orgasm is ultimately a good guy who helps the world. Look, I know who I am. I don't harbor any illusions. I'm not curing cancer or saving the whales, but I take some pride in the fact that when people watch my show, they laugh. Sometimes, they even laugh so hard they pee. Yes, I've received fan letters to that effect. Some viewers get frisky with each other after watching. Maybe they're laughing, and maybe they're fucking, and maybe they're peeing, but I hope the thing people aren't doing is fighting. The Adventures of Mr. Orgasm is not violent, and ultimately the hero uses both his skills and his brain to save the day, but never his fists. That's why I draw a bubble near the hero's mouth and write the words, "I'm a lover, not a fighter." I keep drawing, moving on to other images swirling around in the corners of my mind. Random things. A ninja banana. A dog walking on its front legs. A trio of puppets presenting a naughty puppet show. Maybe I can work that into an episode. Everyone likes dirty puppets. With the pencil flying over the paper, I sketch out the story in their puppet show about a hot mechanic who's washing her car under the sun, her wife beater clinging to her sweaty chest. She sweeps her red hair off her face and pulls it back in a bow. Shit. 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 Out of the corner of my eye, I glimpse the door opening. Harper crosses the distance, and I scramble, folding the paper into quarters or eighths or 64ths, so that she won't recognize that I drew her. And drew her like this, because she's crazy sexy, even in a sketch. As I jam the page into my pocket, I silently curse myself. My mind is like a fucking loose cannon with this chick, firing without warning, even though I distinctly recall giving her the heave-ho from my mental real estate last night. Why the fuck is she invading my drawings again? She arches an eyebrow when she reaches me, and I yank the earbuds out in time to hear her ask, "State secrets?" I shake my head. "Nope, just a storyline for the show," I say, in my practice cool and casual tone. "Ah, well, it's best to keep that away from me, since I have a reputation for revealing all of Mr. Orgasm's secrets if I can get my greedy little hands on them." She darts out her fingers, pretending to grab my shoulder, then my forearm. Holy shit, she has fast hands. Well, duh, she earns a living with them. My eyes widen as she makes a move for the jeans pocket, but it was a fake play. She laughs and holds up her palms in surrender. "I was just teasing. I would never try to sneak a peek at your show ideas," she says, grabbing the seat across from me at the spot we picked for her date download. "But I do want to watch when it's on. I've seen every episode." I tilt my head. "You have?" She nods and smacks her lips. "Seen every episode, loved every episode. warmth spreads in my chest, and it has nothing to do with desire for her this time, but everything to do with pride for a job well done. That's awesome. I love hearing that. She moves her chair closer, and I steel myself to hear all the details of how Jason is wooing her. Instead, she points to the sketchpad. What was the first comic you loved? I answer immediately. Get Fuzzy. I love that strip. That cat killed me. I love that one, too. She flashes a smile. What else? She asks, parking her elbow on the table, resting her chin in her palm, and just looking relaxed and happy as we chat. In all the years I've known you, I've never seen you read a comic book like Superman or Spider-Man. You're all about the cartoons and comic strips instead, right? I nod. Superheroes weren't my thing. But I was always into the drawing and the comedy. These days it's Family Guy and American Dad for humor, and when I was younger, I devoured every Far Side and Calvin and Hobbes. Is that why you have a tiger on your chest, for Hobbes? I cock my head, curious. How did you know about the tiger? I might have noticed it, she says, with a cute little shrug of her shoulder. She grabs her phone, clicks open her gallery, and scrolls through some photos. She holds up the screen and shows me one from the summer in Central Park. I remember her snapping pics of me that day when we pranked her brother. I zoomed in on it that night, she says, then stops, shakes her head, and tries to laugh it off. That sounds really pervy, doesn't it? I'm so damn tempted to say, you don't know what pervy is till you hear about the things you do in my shower. You have no idea how flexible you are some nights. You have no clue how dirty you get in my head when you bend over the edge of my bed and beckon me to your perfect naked body. Still, I can't resist the volley. It only sounds pervy in the best possible way. A splash of red races across her cheeks, but she doesn't hide her face or look away. Instead, she says, I was curious, so I looked closer. That's when I noticed the ink on your chest. Fighting back a grin has never been harder in my life, because she saved my picture. Her admission flips a switch in me, and the light blinks now with possibility. Hobbes is kind of my inspiration, I say, but now I'm the curious one. She has no visible ink, but what if she had a tattoo someplace hidden, someplace intimate? Do you have any ink? She shakes her head, and her eyes widen with worry. I'd love one, but no way. Why do you say it like that? You're going to laugh, but I'm a complete pansy when it comes to needles. She shudders. I'm terrified of them. I hated shots when I was a kid, and I really have to grin and bear it when I donate blood every 8 weeks. You hate needles, and you still give blood. Until they can find another way to get it out of me, I just sit back and think about the Oreos I'll get at the end, she says. I'm impressed she does that regularly, especially when she's afraid of it. But you know what I'm not afraid of? I take the bait. What? Pens. Want to draw Bucky the cat on me? I wiggle an eyebrow. On your chest? Right now? Yeah, just take off your shirt. She flashes me a saucy grin. How about my arm instead? That works too. I pull her chair closer as she pushes up the sleeve on a soft red and blue plaid shirt and extends her arm. Our knees nearly touch when I hold her forearm as a canvas in the coffee shop. An espresso machine hisses from the counter, and No One's Gonna Love You by Band of Horses plays overhead. I love this song, she says softly. Me too. I lower my gaze to her arm, starting with the cat's body. She speaks first, asking a question. What would you do if you couldn't draw? I stop, shudder, and meet her eyes. I press my finger to her lips. Shh, never say something that awful again. No, I mean it, she says, insistent, as I return to her arm. I don't know, Harper. That sounds like the definition of hell. I'd rather die. I begin to sketch the tale. What about you? What would you do if you didn't know magic? I look up briefly. She screws up her lips. The same, she says with a nod, and I love that we don't have to explain more about why we feel this way. We're in sync when it comes to the fire in the belly that drives us both. How did you know you wanted to be a magician? I ask, while I add in messy bursts of hair on the cat's belly as she answers. I just knew, from the time I got a Christmas gift with a magic set in it when I was 5. I learned every trick and every book I could get my hands on from the library and bookstore, she says, and I move to the cat's face. I made my mom and dad take me to every magic show I learned about. I studied acting and public speaking in college so I could be comfortable on stage. I honestly can't imagine not doing magic tricks, which sounds silly because it's one of the weirdest professions to have. I can't tell you how many people say, "You're really a magician?" No one believes you do magic for a living, I ask as I draw whiskers. Anyone I meet for the first time doubts it. I constantly have to prove it. And like I told you before, people are always asking me to show them tricks. Like Jason, she says, almost as an afterthought. I stop for a second. I'd nearly forgot she'd gone on a date, and that I'm supposed to help her analyze it or something. This is the first it's come up. Did you show him a card trick? Yes, and he wanted to know how it was done, but of course I couldn't tell him. Because of the code? Code 563 in the Magician's Handbook of Secrecy, I believe, I tease, remembering what she said at the bookstore. She laughs and shifts the slightest bit in her chair, her knees now touching mine. Yes, that code. I mean, there's not an official code, but it's an unspoken rule. She adopts a serious voice like that of a teacher. The secret of a trick or illusion should never be revealed unless to a student of magic who also takes this same oath. Her voice becomes normal again, though still earnest. You just can't do it. It's completely frowned upon in the magic community. It goes against the whole point of what we do, which is to make people suspend disbelief. I add up all the time she's ever told me how she'd pulled off a trick. The number is officially 0. I let this roll around a bit longer. Keeping secrets is who she is. But she keeps them because she has to, not because she's a sneaky person. That's part of it too, I say absently as I work on a very surly cat's mouth. Part of what? The trade-off. When you said your job was a trade-off, it limits your ability to meet people. But on top of that, you also have to constantly keep up a mask. Some days it's all an illusion, she says in a quiet voice with a soft sigh. She snaps out of it in a nanosecond. What are you afraid of? I look up. Not needles. What then, spiders, open spaces? That the Black Wing Pencil Company will go out of business? I point my finger at her and wink. That one. For real, Nick, she presses, using that voice of hers that is vulnerable, free of snark, and just works its way into me. That voice says she wants to know me more. I stop drawing and focus on her, laying bare my deepest fear. That it will all fall to pieces, the job, the show, the success. I've been really lucky. Most cartoonists barely make a living, and I've landed an awesome gig. The stars all aligned. But success can be so fleeting. It could all go away tomorrow in the blink of an eye. Do you really believe that? I have to believe that. It keeps me on my toes, keeps me focused on doing the best show I can. That's why I just roll with Gino's bullshit. Because I want all this to continue, I say, tapping the drawing on her arm. I want to keep doing this for as long as I possibly can. You love it, she says. And it's such a simple statement and an obvious one, and yet it resonates inside me. I love it more than showers, and I really fucking love showers. I say, completely serious. In this moment, I don't mean shower as a euphemism. I mean it for the complete and utter awesomeness of turning the water on high after a good hard workout, or shortly after you wake up, or following a long sweaty afternoon in bed with the woman of your dreams. She cracks up. That's amazing. I really love showers too. Lest I loll around in the shower zone too long, I school my thoughts. Return to the design and force myself to be her tutor. How was it, your date? It was fine. He was nice and we talked. What did you talk about? As your coach, it's important for me to know these details, I say. Bowling, college, work. Sounds like what we just talked about, minus the bowling. No, she says, her tone firm. We talk about stuff that's deeper, don't you think? I meet her eyes, try to read her expression. But this is a woman who's had to perfect the art of not revealing. I can't tell what she's thinking, feeling, or wanting, and it's starting to drive me crazy because her words seem weightier than usual. Do we? She doesn't look away. Her blue eyes stay fixed on me, and she answers simply, Yes. Didn't we just do that? And she's right, we did. I nod. Do you like him? He asked me to go out next week for dinner. My muscles tighten, and I grip her arm harder. What did you say? I said yes. Isn't that what I'm supposed to say? You told me to try with him, coach, so I can learn how to date and not be a complete buffoon. I laugh at her choice of words. I'd hardly call you a buffoon. She squares her shoulders, taking a beat. What were your dates like with the romance novelist? Can you tell me so I'm not totally flailing around? I shake my head. We're not talking about me right now, princess, not a buffoon. We're talking about you. Are you starting to like him? You didn't answer the question, and it would help me prep you for your dinner if I knew the answer, I ask again. She quirks her lips, considering. I don't get that crazy, fluttery feeling in my chest when I look at him or talk to him. I suppose I probably should if I like him. She makes it a question, her gaze locking on mine. My own crazy, fluttering chest gives me the answer. It's not a bad start. Then, because apparently I'm a glutton for punishment, I press on. Do you feel that way when you're with Simon? Her eyes widen, and she shrugs. That's not an answer, I say gruffly. Evidently, I really like abuse. I haven't spent any more time with him. You gave me orders not to see him, she says, tossing the ball back in my court. Though, I did talk to him on the phone earlier this week. My pen stops. A bolt of red-hot jealousy slams into me. I'm so damn glad I'm looking down because I don't want her to see my face, or that it drives me crazy that she's into him. Yeah? I ask, in my best cool and casual tone, as I return to the blue lines on her skin. How was that? Fine. We just talked about Hayden's party in a couple weeks. And you were able to speak? Ha ha ha. Yes, I retain the power of oral communication, she says, and I groan at the innuendo she served up. Besides, the phone is easy for me, especially texting. Good to know, I say, as I finish the ink on her arm. I move my palm a few inches up her skin, raising her forearm to show her my work. As my fingers skim across her flesh, I swear for a second that her breath catches. The smallest sound floats to my ears, almost like a little gasp, and it sounds fantastic. It trips me back in time to our kiss, to the faint murmur that escaped her lips when I brushed them with mine. I want to press the button on her that controls that noise, that turns it up, that makes it music in my ears. Our eyes meet, and I'm not awash in crazy, dirty thoughts. I'm thinking about how pretty she is, how much more I want to know her, and how I don't want this time with her to end. I can listen to her talk about cartoons and dreams, work and passion, all these deeper things, and all the simpler things too, for as long as she wants to share them with me. Talking to her is so easy. So enjoyable. It's like breathing. My heart pounds as I try to memorize the expression in her eyes, the tiny spark dancing across all that sapphire blue that makes me believe she has to feel the same way. Her lips part the slightest bit, and that small shift is the very detail I'd draw in the picture of a girl who was starting to like a guy. My pulse races as she holds my gaze captive. There are no fans egging us on. There's no trick we're trying to pull off. We might be surrounded by people, but this is a coffee shop full of white noise. Right now, it's only Harper and me, and her shoulders dip forward as if there's a magnetic pole between us. She leans into me, swaying closer, like she's keen to finish what we started on the street. If she is, I want it all, but it has to come from her so I know this isn't just another illusion. Every inch, every bend, every second until our lips meet, has to start with her. I need to know whether this is all in my mind or if this crackling electricity between us truly is as two-way as I want it to be. A cup clangs from somewhere behind the counter, and the sound of it hitting the floor breaks the spell. I straighten, she flinches, and we both look away. When I dare to return my focus to her, she's staring down at her arm, and there's no chance I can find an answer. It slips through my fingers like smoke. I love it, she says in a soft voice. How long will it last? Till you shower. But I love showers. It won't last long then, so unless you plan on letting yourself get pretty dirty tonight, it'll be gone tomorrow. Now who's the one saying ridiculously filthy things? I smirk. Touché. Can I ask you a serious question? Of course. Do you think Jason is going to want to, you know... She raises her eyebrows and croons like Marvin Gaye. Get it on? Maybe. Second date protocol suggests he might try to kiss you, I say. Trying to stay focused on the question and not my own reaction to it, which is that Jason is a lucky fucking bastard. First date is to see if you actually want a second date, so you pass that test. Second date is to see if there's any real chemistry, and so you graduate to dinner and probably a test kiss. And third date is... I let my voice fade, and she raises an eyebrow. She whispers, all conspiratorial. Wait, don't tell me. Let me guess. Third date is for... She slows, licks her lips, then inches the slightest bit closer, so it's like she's imprinting her words on the air as she holds my gaze captive and purrs. Hot, dirty sex. All the blood rushes to my dick. There's no space between us for other people. Her words are between her and me. My brain stops working. Lust spins wildly through me, and I say the first thing that comes to mind. No, I say, taking my time, too, because this is my territory. I know dirty words and deeds inside and out, and if Harper wants to go toe-to-toe, I'm in it to heat her up. It's for hot, dirty sex that lasts all night long. Now she's caught off guard. She blinks, swallows, and exhales hard. I'm tense, wishing she'd start speaking in tongues like she did with Simon. Something to give me the confirmation that she's into me, too. Instead, she bites her lip, then says, I bet that's the best kind to have. It absolutely is, Princess. Her eyes darken when I say that last word, my voice sliding into the tone I'd use with her in bed. Dirty, rough, hungry. That's the problem. If I keep lingering in this zone, I'll be participating in way more one-man shows than are good for my ego. And I really need to get her out of my head, especially since I'm seeing her brother tomorrow. Chapter 11 Bond. James Bond. Spencer adjusts his cuffs, then eyes himself approvingly. He glances over at me as I finish off my bow tie. Can't help myself, he adds. It's a requirement. You can't wear a tux and not say it, because I do look like Bond. I laugh and shake my head. You and every guy in the world thinks that about himself. We're at the tuxedo shop the next day for the last fitting for his wedding, making sure the measurements are right. The petite black-haired woman who runs the shop that's open, even on a Sunday, fiddles with the lapels on my jacket and says, You look good. You're all set. I tip my head to Spencer as I begin to undo the bow tie. Got anything that'll improve his situation? A paper bag, maybe? She smiles, then turns to the groom to work on final adjustments. I change back into my own clothes, and when I rejoin them, Spencer tilts his head toward me and sniffs the air. Why do you smell like my sister's laundry detergent? It's like a car slamming on the brakes. Everything in my head screeches, and I'm caught red-fucking-handed. My brain sputters, and tons of excuses scurry toward my tongue. Then I tell myself to chill. Tons of people use the same soap, and just because she gave me detergent doesn't mean I'm wearing a billboard that says, I want to bang your sister. I just feel like I am. As if every little thing, even the most innocuous, reveals my hand. I've got to get my shit together, especially since I have a dinner with Spencer, Charlotte, and Harper in a few days. I slide on a poker face. What are you talking about? I ask, giving him a look as if he's the crazy one. He leans closer, arches an eyebrow, and sniffs again. Dude, I say, stepping away. That one word conveys everything. This is a no-fly zone. But inside, I panic because how good is this guy's nose that he can tell I'm using the same laundry detergent as his sister? Also, nice cat, Spencer tosses out. My pulse pounds in my neck. What cat? On Harper's arm, he adds. She was with Charlotte this morning, picking up the bridesmaid dresses. Oh, right. The evidence in ink. On Harper's arm. Note to self, find out why the hell Harper didn't shower today. Yeah? Charlotte liked my Bucky the cat? Spencer cracks up. Absolutely. If the TV business doesn't work out, you should start aping other cartoonists' work for a living. I roll my eyes. His expression shifts to serious. What's the deal, though? Harper told Charlotte you were hanging out more. That you had coffee yesterday and she gave you detergent since she spilled something on you? Hot chocolate, everywhere. Like it was a new design, I say quickly, since that's the truth. Besides, there's nothing wrong with us getting a drink now and then. And then, like a frying pan to Woody Woodpecker's head, it hits me why Harper told Charlotte the simple truth. The fact that we're hanging out isn't something Harper has to hide. I'm the one with the big secret, that I'm completely fucking tempted by my best friend's sister in every way. Unrequited lust sucks balls. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. The tux lady pats Spencer's shoulder. You're all set now, she says to him. He thanks her, then eyes me in the mirror. You're just hanging out with her, right? My chest pinches, even as I answer honestly with a nonchalant, yeah. Good. He sounds relieved, and part of me wants to ask why the hell I'm not good enough for her. He claps me on the back. Because Charlotte wants you to meet her sister at the wedding. Natalie's single and a babe. Oh, I say, surprised, because that was not the answer I'd expected at all. I try to play it cool. I never pegged you as a matchmaker. He shakes his head. Not my idea, my bride's. And what she wants, I want. Sure, happy to meet her. Maybe Natalie and I will hit it off, and she'll get my mind off the one person I need to stop thinking about. Wedding hookups are awesome, right? They're the best, I say. And if there were anything more than hanging out going on with you and my sister, you know what I'd do to you. I run a hand through my hair. You do realize neither I nor my hair are the least bit afraid of you. You're like the definition of not scary, right? Spencer laughs. I can be terrifying. Just ask my sister. But I don't really want to talk to Harper about her brother. When I take out my phone later that day to text her, I find she's already sent me a note. Chapter 12. I must have missed her text when it came through earlier. Hey, Charlotte knows you smell like springtime, and it's my doing. She saw my Bucky tattoo. I could have passed it off as my initiation to a new badass feline aficionado gang, but instead I fessed up. But I didn't let on that you're like my love doctor or something, and that you're writing me prescriptions for the good stuff. I laugh at her ability to poke fun at herself. As I kick back on my couch, I respond. That's not the important issue. What I want to know is, have you now given up showers in protest of something? Her reply arrives quickly. So, don't laugh, but I really liked the drawing, so I didn't wash my left forearm this morning. Picture that. I had my arm poking out the shower door so I wouldn't erase it. I push my head back into the couch pillow. Yeah, I'm picturing that perfectly. Almost like I've imagined it a million times before. Hot water streaming down her hair, droplets slipping over her tits, then sliding down her belly and between her legs. Yep, got that image 100% clear. But a picture always helps. I can't resist, even though I know there's no chance she'll ever send me a naughty photo. In fact, I'm not even sure she's going to reply, since my phone is silent for several minutes, long enough for me to grab the paper and hunt for the Sunday crossword puzzle. This is the only reason I get the paper. The puzzle will take me all week, but I can almost always finish it. As I find the section, my phone buzzes, with an image. Oh shit. There is a god. Wait, make that a goddess. Harper stands in her bathtub fully clothed, lifting her face to the shower head that's not on, snapping an image of herself reenacting her shower from this morning. This is hot, and my dick is going to thank me later for this photo, when I can really spend time with it. She's not even undressed, but she's wearing a V-neck shirt that gives me a fantastic glimpse of cleavage. I want to bite that swell of her breast, draw her nipple between my teeth, then suck hard, make her moan and writhe and whisper my name. As I drink in the rest of the picture and how her neck is stretched long and inviting, I know I want to spend a lot of time there, too. I bet she'd like neck kisses. I'm certain she'd like my mouth all over her skin. I could do things to this girl to drive her out of her mind with pleasure. And I really fucking want to. I open the message and write back. Hard to see. I think I'd have a better idea if you turned on the water. Well, she does have a white t-shirt on. I mean, come on. A man has to try. A note from her pops up. Seriously, though, I just told Charlotte you and I have been hanging out. Did she say anything to Spencer? And I deflate. Yes, but there's nothing to worry about, and pretty soon he moved to the next topic. He wants to set me up with someone at the wedding. My phone goes quiet, and I hear nothing from her. Not a peep for several hours. Maybe she's jealous. That would be kind of cool if she was. I work my way through the puzzle, taking breaks to talk to my attorney, Tyler, work out at the gym, and make dinner. As I eat, I draw, returning to the naughty puppet cartoons I sketched out yesterday, and the story of their crazy hot redhead mechanic who's flirting with a guy who just dropped off his car for a lube job. Wait, I meant brake job, he says, embarrassed. She juts out a hip, her perky breasts making his eyes pop out. But the lube job will feel so much better on the drive shaft. What can I say? I like crude humor. I close my sketchbook and return to the puzzle. About the time evening slides into Manhattan, my phone buzzes once more as I'm filling in the squares for a 12-letter word for special liking with predilection. Hi. So, I want to ask you a question about dating, since you're the love doctor. Go for it. I'm an open book. It's about the first, second, third date protocol you talked about. Yep, I'm well-versed. Ready to answer. Fire away. Did you kiss the romance novelist on your second date? This is the second time she's asked, and she really seems to want to know what I've done. From my spot on the couch, I contemplate how to answer. The phone bleats again. By the way, I was at a party all day. Incidentally, I killed it with the 6-year-old crowd. Which means she's not pissed that Spencer wants to set me up with someone. She was just busy. Damn it. I drag a hand through my hair, wishing she was jealous. Then I scold myself because my mission is to be her coach. Yes, and the first date, too. I move to another clue, and in seconds, she responds. That's so unfair. You're applying different rules to me. Anyway, what else did you do on your dates with her? We didn't really date that much. We met, we kissed, we screwed. We screwed again and again. She asked me to tie her to the handle of the refrigerator and do it standing up, so she could test that bit of mild bondage for a scene in her book. I obliged. She wanted me to fuck her on her desk to make sure she knew how all the parts would align. I did my service. She insisted we get it on by the window, too, so she could press her hands on the glass of her Park Avenue penthouse and have me fuck her hard from behind. I suspect that chapter in her novel was quite accurate as well. The relationship was great and completely absurd at the same time. As I begin to respond, another note arrives. I'm just trying to figure all this out. That's why I'm asking. Quickly, Harper and I fall into a rhythm, and the texts fly fast and furious. They weren't entirely traditional dates in the drinks, dinner, and a movie sense.
Gee, I wonder what that means. You spent a lot of time in your birthday suit?
That's one way of putting it.
What sort of things did you two do? Is that too forward to ask? I'm curious. I'm honestly curious. Okay, maybe I'm nosy too.
I stare at the screen, contemplating the depths of Harper's curiosity. I wish I could grasp why she's asking. If this is part of her effort to understand the modern man, or if there is any undercurrent. But I've got to accept that I just don't know. And fuck, if sex is on her mind, then at least we have that in common right now. Welcome to my wavelength. Let's spend some time together. You really want to know? You want to go there?
Yeah, I think I do. You said you're an open book.
I kind of want to know.
Kind of?
Just kind of? Fine. I really want to know. I really, really, really want to know. Believe me now?
Almost.
I want to understand the protocol, the dirty details.
Fine. She wants the nitty-gritty.
This is my specialty. This I can do. I'm not the shy, quiet guy she knew in high school. I've studied women. I've learned what they like. I start to type, to tell her about the fridge, the desk, the window. To say my ex liked to be tied up with rope, scarves, and one time with her pug's leash. But when I stare at those words, I can't send that to Harper. I can't tell Harper what an ex of mine liked in bed. It's wrong to Jay, wrong to me, and wrong to Harper. But I don't want to lose this moment with all its possibilities, so I say something else. Oh, Miss Princess Curious, sex is my favorite topic in the entire universe. But what if we tried rephrasing that? I'm happy to answer the question more generally, like if you were to say, what sort of things do you like? I'd answer that.
What sort of things do you like?
Now we're getting somewhere, and I'm getting horny just thinking about the answer. Make that hornier. Picture a menu at a restaurant. One of those diners that has everything. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, drinks, a la carte, sides, entrees. I'm looking at it. I'm ordering one of everything. I like everything.
Really? Everything? That's pretty broad. Everything?
If we're having this conversation in person, I'd run my finger across that eyebrow of yours because I know it's arched skeptically.
It might be, but everything encompasses far too many things. You must have a favorite thing.
Do you have a favorite position, a preference, a predilection? A slow smile spreads across my face as I read that last word. Predilection was one of the answers to the Sunday crossword puzzle.
You do the Sunday crossword puzzle?
I try. It's a predilection of mine.
I'm impressed. I want to see a finished copy. Do you do the crossword naked?
To answer your veiled question, I'm wearing jeans, boxers, and a t-shirt right now.
What kind of boxers?
Do you smell like springtime? Black boxer briefs. Yes, I do. Want to sniff me?
I bet you smell yummy.
Now tell me more about your predilections. Do you like hot cops, sexy librarians, Catwoman, schoolgirls, dominatrix? I laugh at the last one, and though hot cop would absolutely work for me, there's no question as to my answer. Sexy librarian.
Do you like doggy style, woman on top, man on top, bent over the bed?
You said I could ask anything. I'm asking. Holy fucking turn-on of all turn-ons. Just seeing those words from her heats my skin all over. An intense, aching want spreads to every corner of my body as Harper asks me about sex. She wasn't kidding at all when she said texting was easier for her. Her message becomes an image in my mind. I'm seeing her before me, on all fours on my couch, ass raised. I run a hand down her back, spread her open, and sink into her. Then, I picture her riding me, those luscious tits bouncing as her hips move in wild circles. I switch positions, and now I fuck her hard and fast, her legs hooked on my shoulders. Then, she's bent over the end of the couch, and my fist is around her hair, pulling, yanking. I just don't like all of that. I love all of that. But you forgot a few. 69, rocks. Woman sitting on my face is fantastic. Up against the wall is terrific.
You really do like to sample the whole menu.
I can't think of anything better than all-you-can-eat buffet.
But you really don't have a preference among those?
How about I just list some of my favorite things to do?
Tell me.
My fingers hover on the keypad. I'm dying to tell her everything, to lay it all out for her. But if I do, we're leveling up. We're moving from practical texting to flirty texting to full-on dirty texting. Yeah, when I think about it like that, it just makes me type faster and hit send with a flourish. Kissing, licking, touching, tasting, kissing, feeling, fingering, biting, fucking, eating, spanking, kissing, caressing, pinching, nibbling, fucking, and kissing, always kissing. She doesn't answer right away. As I wait, clutching the phone in my hand, my dick on high alert, my skin sizzling, I'm keenly aware of how much I want to do all those things to her. I run my palm over my jeans and against my straining erection as I stare at the screen and wonder if her hand is slipping between her legs, gliding inside her panties. If her back is bowed and her lips are parted. If her fingers are flying so fucking fast that she's making herself come before she writes back. I write one more note because I can't help myself with her. And because I want to put this picture in her mind. Actually, my favorite thing to do is to make a woman come so hard she loses her mind with pleasure. My phone rattles. That's so hot. It feels even better.
I can only imagine.
Imagine. Her reply is enough to fuel a million fantasies.
I am. Right now.
Screw fantasy, reality rocks, because I'll bet $1 million she's on her bed, her phone in one hand, the other hand down her panties. This time, I know I played a role in getting her there. What I'm also far too certain of is if she wants me the same way, I'm not sure I could turn her down. Chapter 13. I can slice it and dice it a million ways, but there's no denying I sexted Harper. Or that she sexted me back. And it doesn't seem to be stopping. The next morning, as I ride the subway to the Comedy Nation building in Times Square for a promo meeting, I click on the thread and tap out a new message. Enough about me. What do you like? Do you have a favorite thing? I leave the question open-ended, so she can answer however she wants. With a noun, a verb, a position. Hell, she can even mention her favorite food group if that's easier. She's one of the boldest, most confident people I know, except when it comes to love, sex, and romance. I wouldn't call her shy in those areas, especially not after last night. But she's more like someone who has laced up ice skates for the first time, wobbly as she tries to move on sharp blades. I've never been one to play favorites. Until I have a favorite to play with.
So you don't?
It's not that I don't, more that I don't know yet. Interesting. That tells me experience in the bedroom might parallel her dating experience. The train bends around a curve in the tunnel as I ride back. All right, let's figure it out. Tell me what you like in a guy.
I like abs, firm, toned abs.
I glance down at my belly. Check. What else?
I like strong arms.
Oh yeah, got your number there. Before I can ask anything else, my phone dings again.
I like black boxer briefs.
I crease my brow as the train stops at the next station. Well, that's interesting. Pretty sure that's exactly what I told her last night I had on. I exit onto the platform, joining the crowds of New York pushing their way up the steps to work, bent over their phones. I like your answers. What else do you like?
Smart guys.
I grip the phone tighter as I head up to 42nd Street, resisting the impulse to make a comment about smart guys in glasses, because, you know, it's not the glasses that make the guy smart. It's what's inside the brain. But society has decided glasses are a symbol for intelligence. So if she wants to see me as a smart symbol, fine. I mean, sex symbol. Either one is good with me. More. Tell me more.
I like soft lips and hungry kisses,
Lots of kisses. A bolt of heat courses through my body as I flash back to last night's messages, to my long note about fucking and kissing and more kissing. Maybe I'm reading into this, but it's like she's giving some of that back to me. Like she wants the exact same thing, the next chapter in that kiss that started outside her home. So I reply, what kind of kisses? Kisses that make me melt. That's the best kind. I don't want to stop this conversation. I'm greedy for more of her words, so I keep up the volley. And so are kisses that go on and on. And kisses that stop time. That turn you on. That turn to more. That start soft and slow, and then you can feel them in your whole body. All over your skin. Deep in your bones. My throat is dry, and my mind is immersed in the memory of those 15 seconds and the possibility of what might have happened had the seconds stretched into minutes. Maybe just one more note. That take your breath away. And drive you wild. Metal connects with my thighs and a loud oomph escapes my lips. I just walked into a trash can. I put the phone in my pocket and try not to think about kisses that make her melt, since I'd rather not get to know any more trash cans in this city. Not only do we not stop, we speed up. We change lanes, we take turns, we veer off course, and we text and sext and write more. The next night, I crack open a beer and settle in at the standing desk, where I do most of my computer animations. I take a drink, spend some time with my drawing tablet, then write to her. So, we've got arms, abs, briefs, brains, and lips. Anything else you like? I swear I can feel her smile in the one-word reply that lands immediately. Eyes, smiley face. Though it might be the emoticon that's giving me the warm fuzzy. Or maybe just her when she adds another message. I want to look into someone's eyes and feel like he knows me, gets me, understands me. I want him to see my quirks and accept them, not try to change them. I want to know what that's like. Damn, her words are intense and so naked. Something about this small screen makes her open up and reveal parts of herself to me. Besides, she doesn't show anyone, except she showed them to me at Speakeasy, and then at the coffee shop, and now it's like an unveiling. The pieces of Harper she hides inside her top hat, or behind the red scarf, or just beyond a witty joke or quip. Most of the time she's all, now you see it, now you don't. But this is a whole new part of her. Take away voice, face, and body language. Lean only on words, and she blooms. I step away from the desk, pace across my apartment to the kitchen, then restlessly head to the bay window, staring out on the night sky of New York with the skyscrapers and neon gazing at me. I don't want to say the wrong thing, and I don't want to send her racing back to veiled Harper Land. So as I pick up my phone, I choose a safe response, but one that acknowledges all her quirks. You deserve all of that. I want you to have that. I want it too. And quirks should never be changed. Keep all your quirks, Harper. I like them. Same for you, Nick. I like yours too. I'm addicted to my phone. That's something I've always tried to avoid, but I never know if she's going to send me something that turns me on. Except pretty much all her messages do, so I'm living in a state of suspended desire. It's fantastic and terrible at the same time. It feels amazing and also completely foolish. But this dizzy, heady sensation of wanting, it's in charge right now, and it leads me on. I'd like to think this newfound infatuation with her texts is good for my show, because this next episode is coming together like a dream, and after I leave a meeting with the head animator the next day, I make my way to the elevator so I can take off uptown to meet Tyler at Nichols and Nichols. Mr. Hammer. The voice curdles my stomach. Hey, Gino. The network head strides up to me and straightens the jacket on his pinstripe suit. Been thinking about the adventures of Mr. Orgasm, he says, wiggling his eyebrows. I like to think I have several things in common with the hero. I stifle a cringe and just suck it down so hard I might choke on it. That so? He tugs at his tie.
I'm a bit of a ladies' man myself. I bet you are, sir. And you know, I did create a show myself back in the day. Of course, he has to mention his brief flirtation with the other side. I heard it was fantastic, I lie. He waves his I'm so humble wave. It was a damn fine show, but here's the thing. It wasn't quite as racy as yours, which got me to thinking, he says as he furrows his brow. His eyebrows are like two caterpillars river dancing. What if the adventures of Mr. Orgasm were more, say, family-friendly? I wonder if we could go broader, make it less naughty, and find an even bigger audience, he says, giving me whiplash with his Mr. Orgasm meets the Brady Bunch ideas. Think about it. He slaps my back and takes off, and I scratch my head as I leave to see my attorney. The Uber I ordered waits by the curb, so I slide in, say hello to the driver, and return to my new favorite thing, my text messages. It's like hitting the jackpot, because there's a note waiting for me. I thought of some other things I like. Tell me now. Pretty lacy lingerie. Dragging my hand over my face, I sink down in the leather seat. Like that will hide this problem. I breathe out hard. Like that will make this steel rod in my pants fucking disappear before I walk into my attorney's office. There are certain words that flip a switch on a hard-on, and she just used one of them. Lingerie. What kind? What color? What style? White, black, purple, with a little bow, on the rear. Picture a lacy panty with a pretty little ribbon on the butt that can be untied. I raise my face and stare out the window. Maybe there's a store somewhere with a tub full of ice. Maybe I can just go sit in it for a couple of hours to make this lust dissipate. Bows on panties that can be untied. Come on. No man is strong enough to withstand those words. Especially not a man who was sent a black satin bow with pink polka dots. A scorching heat wave crashes into me as I mouth, holy shit. When Harper sent me the pencils tied with ribbon, it was like she left me a little hint before I even knew what it was. A clue to all her desires, to her secret fantasies. It's like a woman undressing as she walks down the hallway, glancing back at you, her eyes saying, follow this trail, and I will follow. Like a black satin bow with pink polka dots? Yes, did you like it? I'm not sure I'll ever look at it the same way again. Did you enjoy untying it? Jesus fucking Christ. I tug at my shirt. No way can I make it through this meeting. But there's no way I can stop. I did. I love untying little bows. In fact, untied is my new favorite word. I like dirty words, too. That's another thing I like. Have I told you I'm a human thesaurus for dirty words? You don't have to tell me. I figured that out on my own. Then you know me so well. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. I also like letting go. And I like when a guy is just so consumed with making you feel good that you want to do the same to him. I pinch the bridge of my nose as the car swings up the avenue. I swear Harper can read my mind. I lick my lips and tighten my grip on the phone. Do you watch porn? Does Tumblr count? Yes. What do you watch or like to look at? That's hard to describe. No, it's not. Try. You just want me to tell you what type of GIFs or photos I like? Yes, that would be awesome. In fact, it would make my day. It would make my day fucking amazing. Her answer will have to wait because I've arrived at the offices of Nichols & Nichols, where a well-coiffed young blonde receptionist rises from behind a sleek desk and greets me by name. Good to see you, Mr. Hammer, she says with a crisp, bright smile. I'll let Tyler know you're here. Thanks, Lily. Before I can even grab a seat on a plush, cranberry-red couch in the lobby, the head of the firm opens the glass door. Nick Hammer, he says in his deep voice as he walks over and claps me on the back. I stand. The man is pure class. Clay Nichols wears a dark suit, a crisp white shirt, and a purple silk tie. Tyler told me you were coming by. Couldn't miss the chance to say hello and congratulate you on all your success. And you as well,
Love the new digs. And tell your wife she does not have to give me free liquor. He laughs and shakes his head. Let me give you a piece of advice. The wife takes orders from exactly